Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
I think that we are all trying to accomplish something. So what is it that you're trying to accomplish? You think about that much in life? What is it you're trying to accomplish? And it's important for us to ask this question sometimes, time to time in our lives. What are our goals? And they can be very concrete and very practical. I want to graduate. I want to get a job. I want to get a promotion. I want to have a family. I want to raise a family. I want to buy a house. I want to retire. Whatever. We have these things. What are we trying to accomplish? Maybe some of you are like Cyndi Lauper, you just want to have fun. Maybe that's as far as it gets. But more than goals, I want you to think about this question more than just goals. Why do you exist? Why do you exist? And what is your existence to accomplish? I think about this kind of question often. This is something that is a regular thought that I have. I have things on my mind that I'm trying to accomplish. Like, and I say this without apology, and I'm promise you I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. This is just a reality. I think I want to save souls. I want souls to go to heaven. And I believe that God has given me a certain task as a Catholic Christian, to share and spread the faith for the salvation of souls. And I want to accomplish that. I also think about this beautiful building and that it's a bit of a headache too, that it always needs to be painted or something's breaking or lights are burning out and all that. And so I think about accomplishing, making sure this is a beautiful, welcoming, well-maintained worship space. I think about school subsidy a lot. That's bugging me, okay? Like who should get subsidy and who shouldn't and how much. And these thoughts weigh on me at times. The other morning I got up, as I so often do, and I went into my room. I have a chair and that's where I pray and that's where I usually start my day, right there, like any other day. And I've mentioned to you all before kind of my routine, and I mentioned this not necessarily you want to do it, but it's not a bad routine. I have a little journal and I write down three things or people that I am grateful for. I write them down. And I write down one lesson that I learned. What did I learn yesterday? What I wanted to sink in. And then I have one little goal. One very simple goal can be one word. Maybe eat better, two words. But anyway, those kind of things. Well, the other morning, I was going through my routine, and I had a vision. And I don't want you to think I was caught up to heaven, had a vision. But it was more than a daydream. It was something real. Something being shown to me. And I never visited Bay St. Louis as a child. I lived in Ocean Springs and that was good enough. I stayed in Ocean Springs. And I never came over here as a child. Now my vision, it was a little bit troubling, frankly. A bit of consolation, but honestly more troubling. So here's the vision. I'm a child, a scrawny little kid, about 8 years old, and I'm playing on the beach in Bay St. Louis, right in front of Our Lady of the Gulf. And there I am, playing on the beach. But I'm not really playing. I'm very serious about what I'm doing, and I'm trying to build something there. It's a nice day. There's a gentle breeze. I don't have a shirt on, I just have my swimming shorts on. And if you saw me, you'd think for sure there's a kid playing on the beach. But I have two pieces of little sticks, not even sticks, they're like straw, hay. And they're not very big. And I'm trying to build something. I'm earnestly trying to make something permanent. And so there I am, kneeling in the sand with my two little sticks, and all I can do is make a little teepee, right? A little two-stick teepee where they're leaning on each other. And I'll set them there, and I think that doesn't look very permanent. And I mess with them a little bit, try to get them to stick in a little bit better, and I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting frustrated by the fact that I can't even get them to stick in the ground straight. And I'm not thinking, and I'm a little child, I know, but I'm thinking of like years. I'm thinking of permanent. And I just can't do it. As I look at them, they're the very picture of transience, of fleetingness, of evanescence, of brevity, of futility. And I sat there looking at my two little pieces of straw. And I kind of came back from the vision, and I was, like I said, I was a little troubled. And I thought, you know, God, what is it that you want me to do differently? What is it that you're trying to tell me? And I knew that I needed to pray about this vision. And as I thought about it some, the passage of sacred scripture came to me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. And then I thought of another passage of sacred scripture that I'm familiar with. In the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says, "The rain fell and the flood came and the wind blew and buffeted the house, but it did not collapse because it had been set solidly on rock. But whoever listens to these words of mine but does not act on them is like a fool who built his house on sand. And the rain fell and the flood came and the wind blew and buffeted the house and it collapsed and it was ruined." And then Psalm 127. This is one of my favorite passages from the Bible. "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watch over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." And all of these three passages, at this point when I had this vision, if you will, I had not even read the gospel for this Sunday yet. And so when I was getting ready to start to prepare my remarks for this evening, in the gospel, I read the gospel, and what is it? It's Jesus sending out the 12, and what is he equipping them with? A walking stick and sandals. That's all they get. A walking stick and sandals. And go. Not even two pieces of straw. They don't have anything. And he sends them out to bring healing. He sends them out to bring freedom. He sends them out to release people from bondage to demons. And I know that God is telling me I have to depend on him. If I'm trying to build something permanent, and when I say permanent, I don't mean permanent like this building. This building will be here for a couple hundred years, but it's not permanent. It's certainly not eternal. And God was speaking to me about, what is it that you're building for eternity? And I think God is speaking to you about that as well. I cannot accomplish the will of God. I cannot build anything with my two pieces of straw. There's going to be nothing that's permanent about that. And to be very blunt and to be very direct, you are not going to accomplish anything in your life with your two pieces of straw. Or even if you had a billion pieces of straw. It's got to be what God is building in us and through us. So what endures? What endures for eternity? Now, the other day, we had the Crab Fest. And at the Crab Fest, I had an opportunity to talk to a young man. He came up to me, and I was very happy to speak with him. And he told me, now, he was not in jail, but he told me that he had once been in jail. He said he was 19 years old, he was in jail, and he had a baby. And while he was in jail at 19 years old with a child outside, he said he read the Bible a lot, and he came across one particular passage, and it really stuck in him. And he said, and I live my life by that passage now. And this was it. He could quote it to me, and he began to quote it to me. He says, when I was a child, I used to talk as a child and think as a child and reason as a child. But when I became a man, I put aside childish things. At present, I see indistinctly as in a mirror, but then I will see face to face. At present, I know partially, then I shall know fully as I am fully known. So faith, hope, and love remain or are permanent. These three, and the greatest of these is love. So why do you exist? What are you trying to accomplish? And what is the vehicle for you to accomplish that? And I believe the answer is pretty obvious. It is to love God, to love our neighbor. And we work at whatever it is. You know, all we got is our walking stick and our sandals and ourselves, and we are to love our neighbors. But there's an obstacle. There's something in the way. There's a problem. And the problem is that we live in a world filled with sin, filled with selfishness, frankly, filled with demons. Do you believe that? Because it's on every page of the gospel. Jesus sent out his apostles in the gospel today to free people from evil spirits. And when they came back, they reported that they had what? Freed people from demons. Now, it's very difficult to preach about repentance and a transformation of life when you speak to people. And again, I'm going to speak to you all believing that you believe in the spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual battle, and there is a demons whose whole job in the world is to blind and attack and undermine your accomplishing that permanent task, that eternal reality that God has placed you on. And Jesus Christ comes into the world to free us from those demons. And somebody has to preach repentance. And I think God was pointing out to me that I depend a little bit too much on myself and my own thinking and my own whatever it is. And I worry too much, and I just need to trust him more. And I say all of that because I don't think I'm alone in that. I think that I'm one of many in this church. And I have to remind you all of the fact that you are called to bring healing into your families. Say, well, Father Mike, I don't have anything to, I don't have, what do I have? I say, you got the same thing that the apostles had. You got your walking stick. You got your sandals. And you, hopefully you have the Holy Spirit. You have a desire to love and to free people and to bring the good news to people. But it's difficult to preach repentance to a world filled with people who do not believe in demons. A world of people who do not believe, not only do they not believe in demons, and this is a fact, they worship demons. And this is where we get into the first reading tonight. The first reading tonight was from the prophet Amos. There's a lot of backstory to the prophet Amos, but let's just say this very simply, that Israel had a civil war, And in the Civil War, just like the United States, they were split into the North and into the South. And Amos was from the South, and he was called to go to the North and preach. And the people in the North, when they met Amos, what was their response to him? Go back where you came from. And the people in the North had totally turned their back on God, all the way to the point where they literally, instead of having one golden calf to worship, they set up two golden calves, and they literally worshiped these two golden calves. Those were their gods. And Amos is there trying to preach God's word to them, and they say to him, go away. We have our gods. Our gods are good. And what does the golden calf symbolize anyway? We should know this. Money, gold, sex, and power. The bull, just like the bull on Wall Street, okay? It's power. And the calf, fertility and youth and virility. And so we have our gods. Go away. Go away. Why do we pray the St. Michael prayer in our church here? Why do we pray it? We pray it, one reason we pray it is because I want you all to believe that you're in a spiritual battle. I want you all to call on the angels and the saints to help you in the spiritual battle. And I want you not to depend on yourself and your two sticks and the sand. And I know that I'm tempted as a child, as a scrawny little kid, to depend on my own imagination and my own ideas and my own two pieces of straw to build the kingdom of God. I don't think I'm going to get very far with that. But with God's help, with a dependence on God, with a spirit open to God, with the courage that God gives, with the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus, guess what I can bring to the world? I can bring healing. I can bring freedom from evil spirits and demons. And am I the only one in the church that can do that? No, my brothers and sisters, you're called to that too. Don't give me any excuses about I don't have anything, Father Mike. I got nothing to offer. So, my brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight we hear Jesus send out the apostles to bring freedom, to bring healing, to bring renewal. And he challenges them not to look to the things of the world, but to look to the power of God. And so, together, let us strive to be free and to bring freedom to the world around us. Mm-hmm.